Amen. Y'all can have a seat. I guess you already did that. Hey, it's great to see y'all tonight. My name is Fernando, and I want to say, of course, thanks for Alan, our teaching elder, and the other elders letting me speak tonight. And we're glad Dina's here. She usually isn't here when I speak. I told her she's afraid of the Word of God. But anyway, okay. As I get started here, and the guys here exiting, I want to mention my wife over here, Kathy Aguirre. We have, she's right here. It's a good time to, okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay. And we have three lovely little girls, now seven. One just turned seven, ages 5 and 2 years, 4 months. And for anybody that doesn't know, we have one in the oven. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. And it's called biological church growth. That's what we like to call it at our church, right? Biological church growth. But anyway, just wanted to mention that. Okay. All right, let's get into it. We're going to be, we're going to be in Malachi chapter 3. You'll turn into Malachi. This is just a continuation of our series. We've already been in Malachi for a number of weeks. And this is the next piece of the message here that I'm going to share with us. You have some notes here, hopefully. Malachi 3, 6 through 15, on genuine stewardship, okay? I'll be referring to that. We're going to have some fill in the blanks there. All right, so we'll get going with that. All right, the book of Malachi was written to a people a lot like us, a lot like us. People, just kind of average people who, I mean, we mess up a lot and are desperately in need of God's grace, just all the time. You know, when we've heard Malachi, we've read it, we've heard it preached, they're always kind of, you know, bumbling around basically, just like us. In need of the grace of God. This passage is kind of peppered with wisdom, love, and admonition for those of us who are ready to listen tonight. And in it, God puts his finger on a very specific way that the people were failing to obey him in their tithes and offerings. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And together we're going to learn about the blessing of giving. The blessing of giving. Y'all pray with me. Father, we do worship you right now. And the song about bless you. Let everything within me bless you. We want to love you and bless you tonight. And worship you with everything we are. Lord, as we talk tonight about the tithes and offerings, we know that's just, you know, a part of our lives. It's an important part of our lives. But it's just one sliver of our lives. We want to give every part of our lives to you. Every part of our lives to you. I pray tonight, Father, for your word to be clear to people. I pray that we would hear what you're saying to us, all of us, and wherever we are with this, would you speak to us? I pray that you would open up our hearts. Would you touch us tonight as we hear your words? We pray it would be just words from you. We love you, God. Amen. Amen. Turn to Malachi chapter 3 there. I think you might have that open. We're going to be in verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. Verse 11. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty. But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. All right. We're going to go through this verse by verse, and as I mentioned, you have notes there, okay? The first part here in verse 6, where it says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. I, the Lord, do not change. This is also, in a way, saying, that is why you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Okay? So, basically, we're still here on the earth, basically, because God doesn't change, and He is faithful to us. He loves us even when we mess up and make mistakes. His grace still remains. I have here, even though we mess up continually, the Lord sticks with us out of His great love. That part's in your notes if you're going to take notes. Out of His great love. As I was studying this, this great passage came, I came across this great passage. It's from Lamentations 3. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassions never fail. Now, in a little bit, He's going to talk about, you know, returning. We're going to get to that in a second. But we need to remember that here, right at the beginning, okay? He's going to say some things and kind of correct these people who are listening, okay? The people Malachi was speaking to. But I want to start off with here, His love. His love that is never ending for us. It's based on who He is, on His being, on His character, not what we do or don't do, not how our day went or our week, you know, performance, kind of how we did, kind of our score, sort of we put in our mind spiritually or emotionally or mentally, okay? But His love continues. His compassions never fail. In verse 7, ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. I've mentioned this, that these folks were just like us, rebellious. Just like us in many ways, rebellious. Yet God had a word for them. He urged them to repent and return to Him. Return. His heart is for us. Even when we're walking in rebellion, He wants us to get on the right path, but it is for us. He has a word. If you're kind of sensing, I wonder if I'm rebellious in any area of your life, His word is return. Return. Return in the sense of repent and walk back to Him. Having a change of not only our actions, but our hearts, our minds. In James 4:8, it says this, come near to God, and He will come near to you. Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Moving on, the next part of the scriptures says, but you ask, how are we to return? Okay, God told them to return. They're saying, how are we to return? Verse 8 is very interesting. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. God put his finger on a very specific way His people were failing to obey Him. He put His finger on that specific way His people were failing to obey Him in tithes and offerings. And going over this with tithes, a lot of y'all know, you've heard, but a tithe basically means a tenth of something, okay? And I'm going to get more into tithe in a second. And these offerings could be also as a present, as offered up, especially in sacrifice or as tribute. Other translations call that offering part gifts or contributions, okay? And I'm going to share a little bit more here on the tithe. Excuse me. This is from the Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. It says, a tithe is the practice of giving a tenth of one's income or property as an offering to God. Okay, giving a tenth of income or property. The first recorded instance of tithing in the Bible occurs in Genesis 14:17. This was about Abraham after he returned from rescuing Lot after defeating his enemies. Okay, it didn't actually say tithing, but it said he gave a tenth. Okay. The final mentioning of tithing in the Old Testament is, guess what? This passage in Malachi that we read. In the Old Testament, the purpose of giving a tenth was to meet the material need of the Levite, okay, to provide for the Levites, the strangers, the fatherless, like the orphans, and the widows. It was basically the way that they were supported. It was kind of a theocracy. The tithe was an expression of gratitude. This is an important word. The tithe was an expression of gratitude to God by his people. Basic to tithing was the acknowledgement of God's ownership of everything in the earth. So when they were saying, when they were giving, they were saying, God, we thank you for what we do have. Thank you for these things, these items, this material wealth, basically we do have. And acknowledging all this is yours anyway. All of this really belongs to you, God. And this is a portion of it we're giving back to you. And this part where it talks about robbing God is interesting. This word talks about covering up something. Okay, it's like it's over there, that's for you, okay, but ta-da! Covering it up, okay? Covering it up. Or defrauding. Another translation calls it cheating, actually cheating God. So that's an interesting way to look at it too. And this is interesting because this kind of, God says we're robbing him in this way, when we're not doing that, we're robbing him by withholding something. I thought that was interesting. You know, if I want to rob Jordan of this cool hat he has on backwards, okay, I want to go over there and pop that baby off of his head, taking it away. But this is interesting because God said you're robbing him, but it's because you haven't given him everything that he's due. And it's also interesting because we're not really fooling anyone. You know, if God's calling for something, we're not giving it to him, he knows when we're not giving it. So it's not, we're not really tricking him, okay? He knows everything. So that's for that verse. Will a man rob God? You go to the next part of verse 9. He says, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. This robbing or cheating God, this part's in your notes, robbing or cheating God of tithes and offerings brought about a divine negative consequence, a curse. Another translation said it like this, you are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. So it was kind of like, you know what to do, what I've called you to do, but yet you're still not doing it. So I thought that was interesting. An author I read, Warren Wiersbe, says that you're actually robbing yourself, too. And we'll get to that in a minute. When we're robbing God in this way of withholding tithes and offerings, we're robbing ourselves. Okay, that's kind of coming up. We'll get an idea of what this curse may look like, too, when we see what happens when it's lifted. And I thought it's interesting to note that this statement is directed towards God's people. Okay, he was telling them, to God's people, y'all are supposed to be giving here. You're called to give back. Not people who didn't belong to God. He wasn't talking to them. He was talking to his people. I thought that was interesting. In verse 10, moving along, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Bring the whole tithe. God directed them to bring everything that was due him. In this case, the full 10%, I believe is what he was referring to right there. Okay, God directed them to bring everything that was due him. Everything. And then this part's really interesting. He says, test me in this. Test me in this. And I couldn't think of another place in Scripture where God was asking us to test him in something. So I thought that was really interesting too. But he says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. This word test was especially used of testing metals. And generally and figuratively meant to investigate, to examine, or to prove. So he's saying, prove me in this. Try me in this. And it's because he's so loving. He wants to bless us and us to be living how he wants us to live and bless us. Okay? Let me go back to the idea about the testing. I met earlier this week with Butch and also Jason Kennard, who's speaking at one of our other family churches. And Jason brought it up like this. I thought it was really neat. He was saying in this place in Scripture, God says, basically don't test him. He's saying don't test him out of rebellion or unbelief regarding his identity or his nature. Don't test out of rebellion or unbelief. But this is a test of his grace and benevolent love. This is a test of his grace because he's ready to pour out his blessing on us. We just need to keep walking in what he wants us to do. And this word blessing is also can be like a benediction. Okay? And testing God in this way has a divine positive consequence or result, a huge blessing. When we test God in this, we respond to him like this, and we say yes and go through, he says it's going to be a huge blessing in our lives. The next part here. When we humble ourselves before God, as demonstrated by our obedience, we can expect his blessing or his favor. Okay? When we're doing what he's calling us to do, it's not being proud or rebellious, but we're humbling ourselves, basically, and submitting to him. We will experience his blessing and his favor. In 1 Peter 5:5, the passage we talked about a few months ago, it's a scripture. It says, God opposes the proud, but it gives grace to the humble. It's actually in the Bible three, at least maybe four times. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And we talked about when we are following what God wants us to do, we're in the flow of his grace and able to a lot easier receive his grace and his favor. But when we're doing stuff that he doesn't want us to do, we're putting ourselves in opposition of God, basically. And the illustration I gave a couple months ago, too, was kind of like one of my children. When they are doing, you know, the right thing that they know they're supposed to do, okay? When they're doing that, they're responding, okay? They're being obedient. Well, they're in the favor, okay? I mean, they're in the favor, okay? When they are not and they're doing what they know is wrong, they're just flat out not going to do it, basically. Well, they're not really living in the favor of their daddy, basically. I still love them. I love them to pieces. You know, it doesn't matter. I still love them with all my heart. None of that matters in the sense of my love for them. But yet, if they're, you know, being rebellious, basically, they're in opposition of me. And I will still be opposing that behavior in that heart, basically. Okay? That's kind of what we're talking about. We're humbling ourselves before God, as demonstrated by our obedience, we'll expect his blessing and favor. This morning, as I was spending some time reviewing the message and kind of refining a few things, I did some of my own Bible reading, and then I'm going to be reading Deuteronomy soon. And I was looking through it real quick, and I was thinking, where am I going to be in Deuteronomy? Because I read half of it a few months ago and somehow stopped. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, guess what I found? A section on tithing. And I thought this was really interesting. You don't have to turn there. You can just hold if you want. But Deuteronomy 14:28 is talking about one of the tithes. It says, at the end of every 3 years, listen carefully, it's tricky. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes and offerings of that year's produce and store it in your towns. Okay, every 3 years, this is a special tithe I'll tell you about in a minute. Bring all the tithes so that, listen to that, so that the Levites who have no allotment or inheritance of their own and the aliens, this is talking not about space creatures, right, but about people who are from other lands, okay, the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied. Okay, so it's saying bring this tithe is going to go to provide for those people's needs, okay? But it doesn't stop there. It says, and so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And I thought, oh, that's the same thing I'm reading in Malachi, basically, okay? And so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So I came across that today. That's a freebie, all right? Let's move on to verse 9. Continuing here in the scripture from Malachi. Excuse me, verse 11. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. This blessing involved protecting their future resources from being ruined and instead making them fruitful. Okay, so he's protecting their resources from being ruined, okay, not being destroyed before they had a chance to produce fruit, and making them very fruitful. Okay? Talking about their fruit not being cast off, like not falling off before it's ready, before it's ripe, before it's ready to be harvested. This probably also involved rain. This was a very agrarian society, a bunch of farmer types. And earlier talked about the floodgates of the windows of heaven being opened, okay? And this being part of the blessing. Probably involved a whole lot of rain. Moving on to the next part, verse 12. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. This is another divine positive consequence for obeying the Lord's injunction. When we obey God, we are blessed and others take notice. When we obey God, we are blessed, others take notice. They will see God's blessing in your life. And the implication is being that they will cast their gaze on His goodness. That when they see His goodness in our lives, they realize it's not because we're some, you know, real special people, basically, but it's God's moving in our lives, and they'll see that. Okay, it's kind of like our good deeds, in a sense, shining out, but it's really the Lord's work in our lives. Others will see that. So this is kind of real, you know, focused on the tithe and all that. The next part's a little different, but it's related too. In verse 13, kind of going back to the dialogue section again. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? It's kind of like, what? Okay, what have we said against you? Verse 14, you have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out His requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, even those who challenge God escape. Here we find the discouraged cry of the faithful. To have a tip is to keep an eternal focus. And when I was reading through this and studying with some of these other guys too, I was reminded of, you know, there are a lot of people here that you're serving faithfully. So it's a little bit different from, you know, the tithes and offerings, but it's still a part of your life giving it back to God, serving faithfully. You know, as God has called you, He's enabled you. When there's a need, you know, if you can be there, you know, you feel like, you know, you are there. Okay, many of you are serving faithfully. And my encouragement for you is to hang in there. Sometimes it does get, you know, you get weary. You get discouraged. I've been there too, you know. Sometimes you might feel like, man, I'm going to bail. You know, a few times I felt that too, okay. But my encouragement is to hang in there. To keep clinging to His goodness. Don't believe the different, you know, lies that kind of come into our brain, you know. But hang in there. It is worth serving God and living for Him. And giving your whole life to Him. And honoring Him with your life, with your time, with your money, just everything. It is worth it. And just a reminder that we're not living for this world. That, you know, your mailing address might say College Station or Bryan or Iola or, you know, wherever it says, okay. But this isn't our real home, but it's heaven. Philippians says our citizenship really is in heaven. So just a reminder to hang in there when you feel weary and kind of feel like throwing in the towel. Remembering our goal is to seek to please Him. And when we get to heaven, we want to hear Him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want to be about. Okay, many of y'all here, you know, that could be you. And as I was, you know, studying this and thinking about this and seeing some other guys' notes too, it reminded me too that there might be some other people that maybe that's not you. Maybe you're like where I was. This is a little story. Years ago, I was in my early 20s. And yeah, years ago. But anyway, that's a whole other story. I was in my early 20s and I was going to this potluck we were having at my relative's house. This was Thanksgiving time. We had it every year. Okay. Well, when I was young, I went with my dad, you know, because I lived with him, right? So I should go with him, okay? So we'd go over there, and my dad would bring whatever it was, you know. I don't know what we brought, potatoes, chili. I don't know what we brought. Whatever he brought, that's what we brought, okay? Well, later on, I went to college, and I may have done that for a few years going back when he was there. I don't remember. But this one time, I was in my early 20s, and I came up to the door, knock, knock. My uncle would open the door, and he was like, hi, you know. He was like, he basically said, what did you bring? And see, my daddy wasn't there, you know, bringing whatever it was because I was in college or maybe grad school. I don't know where I was. I don't remember. But anyway, I didn't have anything. And I was kind of like, well, you know, kind of basically trying to play it off like I'm with him. Well, you know, my dad, you know. But he basically, and it kind of hurt my feelings and offended me, but he was right. He basically was like, that was then, you know. You're grown up now. It's time. You know? And like I say, it kind of, you know, I was kind of like, wiggling, you know, didn't know what to do or think about that, you know. But he was right. And so for some of y'all too, if you know, I kind of talked about the first group, maybe you're serving diligently or whatever, but some of y'all maybe, you know, you really haven't been serving. I don't know. I don't know who that is. But some of y'all maybe you're kind of like me, you know, kind of riding on other people's coattails a little bit, letting them kind of do all the work sort of, you know. It's time. And I don't know what way, you know, God wants you to serve, but you know what? He will tell you how he wants you to serve. He will. So, you know, if, you know, God's speaking to you about that, please know, you know, I'm not trying to pick on you, but out of love, you know, ask you and challenge you to serve, because we need you to serve. We need you to serve, okay? And a lot of organizations, there's this principle, it's called the 80-20 principle, has another name, but anyway, and the little principle is, a lot of organizations, you have 20% of the people doing 80% of the work, okay? You know what I'm talking about? Those faithful people always doing all the work, you know? We want that percentage to go up a lot higher for everybody serving. And about 3 or 4 weeks, we're going to have a ministry fair, too. Sunday night, I think. Something like that. Anyway, it's going to be a ministry fair. We're going to get to learn about all the different ministries, too. Okay? And how you can be involved. So be listening for that. All right? We need you to be involved. Everybody. We all play a part. All right. All right, let's get back to the tithe. I've got a few more things to say on the tithe, and this was from our friend, your friend and mine, Pastor Butch. He had some, of course, a lot of really good things to say. I'm going to summarize some of this for you and read some of it word for word. I thought it was very powerful and very challenging for us. Basically, with the tithes, there are basically three basic tithes in the Old Testament. We're not going to get into the details, but basically three different ones, as in three different 10% type tithes, okay? But one of them is every third year. So basically, the idea is actually tithe is really more than 10%. It could be 20% this year, 20% the next year, and 30% the next year. So it was actually a lot bigger than we normally think of, okay? And this is what Butch had to say about it. I thought it was really, really good. He said, I share this to challenge us in the area of stewardship, telling them sometimes it's 20, sometimes 30. It's a lot more than we usually think. A tithe of 10% is a minimal standard for giving, never the end. Kind of like a beginning place, okay? Biblical stewardship is recognition that everything we have really belongs to God. It is because of his grace and provision that we can acquire wealth. That's the scripture. Everything we have acquired really belongs to him. And these are really good. He said the better questions are, this is really interesting. If you're taking notes, this is a good one. How much do you want me to keep? These are very challenging. How much do you want me to keep? Second, how do you desire that I manage that, the part that you keep, basically? And the rest is God's. The rest is God's. That was very challenging. And on that note, too, before we go to the next part, I want to make a note of, really, you know, this is a lot about, you know, kind of tithe, offerings, this kind of deal. But in a general sense, too, this is really applying to our whole lives. I kind of referred to that earlier, that we give everything to him. He wants every part of our life, our thoughts, our emotions, our actions, everything we do, everything we are, our time, our talents. He wants every part of it. So we need to be willing, what he's asking too, is to give everything to him and just be ready. Just be ready. Kind of like a soldier, you know, the army, they're kind of, sometimes they're stationed here and they're kind of awaiting their orders, basically, you know. The orders are to go to X place, and this is your mission. So you want to be willing. And being the title was genuine stewardship, really what he wants is us to be stewards, you know, his managers of everything that he's giving us, because it's really his. But I thought I wanted a little example real quick. So not just money, but sometimes our properties. Last, I don't know if it was the fall or spring, I woke up, it was about 5:30. I went to the living room. I heard this noise, and I was thinking, what is that noise, you know? And I kind of looked around. I saw some lights out my window. Peeked out there. It was two utility trucks. It was so great to see them, Carlos. Two city utility trucks, and they're obviously doing a big project in the corner of my front yard. I thought, oh, great, you know. So I went over there with my water faucet. Nothing happening, you know. I said, oh, great, you know. So I start gathering my stuff together, and because I'm going to go take a shower somewhere else. Because, you know, this is not happening here, right? Well, I'm not going to work dirty, okay? So anyway, getting my stuff in a little backpack, pop it in my car, get in my car, going on the highway. I'm on the highway now. Does anybody see a problem yet? I have nowhere to go yet, okay? Because I haven't called anybody, okay? I pick up my little phone, you know, this very nice outdated phone that I'm going to keep for a long time. Thank you very much, all right? And I punch in, who am I going to call? Somebody I know I can just pounce on, basically, because I know their lives are devoted to the Lord, basically, and, you know, if I'm come calling, they're going to say, yeah, they're not going to turn me away. Well, I called the Palermos. Thank you very much. It was 6 in the morning, and I called them. I was on the highway. I said, hey, I told them, and they said, of course, come on over, you know, mi casa, su casa kind of thing. And I knew I could call on them. I knew they'd be ready, okay, because they're examples to me of kind of what we're talking about here of being ready to give their whole lives to the Lord, every part, whatever it is. And I want to be more like that. And so that's kind of why I share that example with you too. So we're talking about tithes and offerings, but it's really even bigger than that. So in closing here, I want to go about, there's a section here on the bottom of your notes from the New Testament. And I did a quick study, but it was a 2-chapter study on 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And I was thinking about this passage from Malachi and how it applies to us and kind of the details of that. I was also thinking of a lot of New Testament type of concepts and ideas. And there's a lot of principles related to good financial stewardship in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Now, this was talking about a special offering, okay? But I believe these are really solid principles, like I said, Christian financial stewardship. And I mentioned here we learn that the grace of giving, you see that grace and giving is connected several times in those 2 chapters, if you look at it carefully. The grace of giving is a privilege. And he mentions the word privilege one time in the NIV. And he also talked about these guys were eager. They were ready to give. Not like, oh man, they were just ready. They were fired up about giving. It's a privilege, and it's to be undertaken. These things were in there willingly, sacrificially. These guys, it talks about, they were actually in a financial hardship time of their lives, basically, but they were giving sacrificially. Cheerfully. This is that part, if you ever heard the scripture, God loves a cheerful giver. Well, here it is. Check it out yourself, okay? Could be translated hilarious giver. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to be silly. All right. Willingly, sacrificially, cheerfully, and especially generously. I'm going to read these 2 verses real quick from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. This is a powerful verse. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. We're talking about giving here. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That sounds a lot like what we read in Malachi. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay, that's that part right there. So, kind of reaping and sowing, okay? And giving is to be accomplished from what one does have. So if you're thinking, man, I don't even have that much money or whatever, you know, that's not the point. That's not the point at all. You know, when we were in prayer earlier, somebody mentioned a widow in the Bible that gave like these 2 coins, almost like 2 pennies, you know, and Jesus was watching. And he basically told everybody, this, you know, widow gave 2 little coins, basically gave all more than everybody else, basically. Okay? You know, she was giving like with basically all she had, basically. Okay? So she gave that. But anyway, so it's given from what you do have. Okay? Sometimes today's giver becomes the next receiver. And I'd never seen this in that passage. Basically, he was saying, you're going to supply for these guys here, but then later on, they may be supplying for you. Kind of keep that in mind. And that's often the way it works in the kingdom. We want to be ready to give, but sometimes we need to be humble, and sometimes, you know, God wants us to receive too. Okay? There's a connection between God's blessing in our lives and our faithfulness in giving. Saw that wrapped, kind of woven in there too. When God blesses someone, he intends that person to be a blessing. So he's not just giving to us, you know, when he's blessing us and giving to us just for us, but it's to give out to others too, not just for us ever. In addition to supplying people's real needs, the grace of giving results in praise to God. Results in praise to God. And it's a lot like we saw in Malachi earlier, okay, when the God was saying you're going to have a blessed land and people are going to see that and take notice. Giving will result in praise to God. I mentioned that, I think, at least 3 times in that 2nd chapter. All right? So one last scripture I want to mention. This is not in your notes, but it's Luke 6:38. It's Luke 6:38. It says this. Just kind of connected to the whole idea of blessing and generosity. This is the part where it says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." So there's a connection there between us, you know, giving back to God in a generous way. I don't understand how it all works, but there's clearly a connection there. So my encouragement for us is this. There's different people here. So some people here, you've never been here, and some people you're here and you've been here before, but like this kind of stuff I'm saying, it just sounds a little crazy. Or you're basically, also you're like, I don't even believe in this stuff, period. You know, I'm just kind of here, you know. Like, you don't really believe in the Lord. You don't really believe in Jesus. You know, you don't believe that he came to set people free from our sins and to help us to follow God, to give him our whole lives, okay? And so this idea of giving everything to him is a little scary to you, okay? And forget the money thing, just life, period. Well, I've got good news for you. He wants all of your life, your whole life, but he's worth it. He is worth everything. I'm 39. I've been through lots of ups and downs in my life, but fortunately, I've tried to cling to the Lord, and he's never let go of me. I've let go a few times, I think. He's never let go of me, and he's worth it. I don't regret the different hard times I've been through, the ups and downs, the struggles relating to God. I mean, whatever, he is worth it. And he hasn't left me or forsaken me. He has shown himself to be faithful and to be there. There were some times when I wasn't too sure if he was there, but he was, and he's shown me that. There was different times in my life where I was really struggling, and he broke through. It was like he saw me, you know, feeling oppressed or something going through, and he saw me, saw my need, and broke through and took action in my life. And so if you're here and you're like, I don't even believe in Jesus, I'm pleading with you and begging you to submit to him and to test him in general with your life, to call out to him because he is faithful. I'm praying that he opens up your heart to receive him. Only he can draw you. This morning, if that's you and you're listening to me right now, this morning I was praying for you, asking that Jesus would draw you. The Bible says that only he will draw men to himself. Not even, you know, just, you know, somebody even saying it, but only Jesus can draw you to himself. He wants you. There will be some hard times. Okay, we talked a lot today about his blessing. His blessing, all this stuff is true. But there are times of suffering too. It's the whole enchilada. It's the whole package. Okay? But he's worth it. And I invite you to call out to him tonight, to yield to him and say, yes, he wants you. And he's going to keep pursuing you. Promise. So that might be you. There's some others here, and that's not you. You do know the Lord. You've called out to him. You really are following him. But for whatever reason, you're kind of tripped up in this area. And you've kind of shut your ears off to this area of giving. Maybe it's, you know, stewardship of your whole life, or maybe it's specifically with finances. And you've basically kind of said, nope, not going to do it. Like a little kid, you know, nope, you know, no way, no how, okay? So maybe in different ways you've kind of said that, okay? Well, I want to plead with you to return, okay? That's not going to work. Not going to work in your life, okay? It's basically being in rebellion to what God is calling you to do, okay? It's not going to work. I plead with you to humble yourself before him, if that's you. Humble yourself before him. Return. Repent. His grace is there to draw you back, to put new life inside of you that you need. I plead with you to repent. Repent and return. There's others, and I didn't get to touch on this earlier, but some of y'all, you kind of hear this, and you're like, man, I'm trying, or I want to, you know, you're trying to give, and you kind of have, or you kind of don't, but you're struggling. Like, you genuinely want to, and you're trying, but you're struggling, okay, or you're hurting, or you're very anxious about, you know, how will this get paid off, or how will this, or whatever, okay? And I understand that. I wish we had more time to kind of talk about that. So my heart goes out to you if that's kind of where you are. Okay? And my encouragement for you, I hope it's an encouragement, is test him. Test him in this. Test him in this. He will be faithful. And that's my encouragement to you. And also, one little tip, you know, if you think about the numbers and it kind of is not adding up, okay, you're like, I owe this many bills, this many, here's my income. Okay. My encouragement to you is to test him and to give to him first. The next time you get paid, I mean, that's the only way you're really going to get it done, probably, when you're starting off, right? You know, write that check or bring in cash, whatever it is you do, okay? But give it to him first. And see if he doesn't stretch out the other whatever percentage it is, okay? Because all this is about trust, just like the whole Christian life. It's all about trust. And giving is about faith, okay? So so my heart goes out to you. My encouragement is to test him. Go for it. And there's others that you may be like, you know, regular givers. And I want to share with you all about this too, because as I've been working on this message this week, God's spoken to me about this too. You know, we give regularly and, you know, to some missionaries too and all this. But God's really spoken to me too, and I think there may be others kind of out there kind of like me that we give regularly and faithfully, but it's just kind of habit. It's just kind of rote. And what I mean is it's not really out of worship or really out of love or devotion to God. I mean, it kind of started out that way probably, but it's just kind of what we do. It's like I pay the mortgage payment. It's on, automatic draft kind of deal. It's almost like that, you know. It just pops out, you know. There's nothing in my heart connection going out to that, okay? There's no worship going out there. It's just getting done, taking care of business sort of, okay? Well, my challenge for a few people like, you know, me, basically, is encouragement to see giving and this giving as a worship unto him and as a way to love God and not just to be kind of habit even, but as a devotion, a way to adore God and to serve him, to love him, is to give. And to give generously and cheerfully out of the love and devotion for him. And I was challenged too by the area of generous. You know, we give faithfully, we've done this and that, and but I was challenged too by the area of generous. You know, we've had spikes of generosity in our lives, you know, but not really like a consistent path, I think. And so I personally feel challenged for that and motivated for that. And I'll tell you one quick funny story too. Years ago, we were at a church. Our church, one of the churches in Austin we served at and worshiped at. And the pastor had been a missionary in Indonesia. And he basically was sharing about this big famine. This was probably about 8 or 9, 10 years ago. I don't remember. A famine that was going on in Indonesia. And he was encouraging us, asking us to do a special offering for this group. He was going to send it to this group and go back to people of Indonesia to feed them, help feed them, all this. Okay. Well, Kathy and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I want to give that. We should give that. I feel like we should give that. And Kathy and I whispered, shh, 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 shh. She has a checkbook, you know. Okay, we agreed, you know. All right, you know. So they took up an offering. You know, later on, we go home. We have lunch. I don't know what happened. And somehow it came up again about the offering between her and I. And I said, what did you write the check for? And she said, $500. And I said, 50. So that was kind of accidental generosity. Was I thought it was $50, and she gave $500, you know. And but you know, I was like, we need to be generous. It's okay. So I didn't call them, email them, you know. All right, you know, we just let it at that and figure. I guess a holy mistake. If it's a mistake in generosity, I guess that's a good mistake. Okay. And so anyway, so we want to have a consistent, you know, foundation of generosity in our lives, as we want to be about. I'm encouraged by that. Then there are others of y'all that you're giving not only regularly, not only under the Lord, but sacrificially and generously. And my encouragement is keep it up. Thank you for being examples for us, for all of us, okay? May God show you new heights of generosity as he blesses you. All right. So that's the message for today. I'm going to pray and ask God to continue what he's doing in people's hearts. I'm going to ask that he will speak to us. Okay, I ask you all to respond to. Father, we do pray, and Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this timely word from you about not just our money and our offerings, but really our whole life. And God, I pray for the people here that you've spoken to in different ways, you know, about giving or our stewardship of their lives, or maybe humbling themselves before you and to know you, or returning if they're being rebellious. Or I pray for your encouragement for those who are there trying, but they're kind of not making it somehow. I pray encouragement and your wisdom. I pray for you to help people respond right now. I pray, Lord, that there would never be anything in our hearts where we say no way to you. But I pray that our heart and our answer would always be yes. Whatever it takes, whatever you ask, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you for people here. I pray for your encouragement, your spirit of generosity. We pray for your newness of life today. Thank you for this time. Amen. Amen. If y'all could stand, please. If you're praying, please keep praying. And 1 John 4:16, it says, "So we know and rely on the love God has for us." It says, God is love. Verse 18, it says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." There is no fear in love, but perfect love, his love, drives out fear. Verse 19 says, "We love because he first loved us." I'd like to keep praying and keep having a response time. And specifically, my prayer is, I feel like there's some people there who you're afraid. You're scared of this kind of, you know, giving thing, or maybe the cold giving or your life. I'm not sure, but you're afraid. So I want to pray that God removes that fear and you are free to take action. And as you start to take action, I'm praying that he will remove the fear too, kind of all at the same time. So I'm going to pray, and then I'd like for us to pray for a few more minutes, okay? Father, I pray for my friends here, my brothers and sisters, Lord. I believe there are some people here that they're afraid. Lord, I thank you that your love casts out fear. Your perfect love casts out fear. We submit to you, God, our lives, our hearts, our wallets, our things, everything. We submit to you. And James says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. We submit to you. We resist the enemy and his voice. In Jesus' name, I pray freedom for my brothers and sisters. Freedom to walk in your love and to walk in faith and not fear. You set people free by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I was expecting Brian Miller. I'm not Brian Miller. I'm Fernando. Hey, thanks so much for coming out tonight. Whether you're a first time here or you've been here forever, we're glad you were here to worship God with us tonight and to hear from his word. Okay, and if you are new, we have a team teaching approach. I'm not one of the regular teachers. I'm a occasional teacher, I guess. But usually there's two or three different people preaching every week. Okay, so you'll see different people. All right. If you're here for the first time, we have a special treat for you out on the left or the right. Just go and look for the food. Special treat for you. Okay. Thank you so much for coming. God bless.
Okay, we'll stand up and sing that chorus again. God's worthy of it. And it reminds you, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, we have worship here tonight. Then also. I just need to stop talking and sing.